I'm a mythical Pandora,
sent here to judge the universe.
Do you have any idea what the weapon is?
It could very well be a planet killer.
I would really like to go on this mission, Admiral.
Imagine having the power to annihilate entire worlds, and even the stars themselves.
Humanity is worth saving. What have you done?
Pandora. New episodes premiere October 4th. Free next day, only on the CW app.
New episodes of Pandora premiere every Sunday at 8 p.m. on the CW in the U.S., and you can watch it anytime on the CW app. Season 1 is now streaming for free on Amazon Prime. Welcome to Unboxing Pandora, the podcast where we take a behind-the-scenes look into a hit CW show, Pandora. On today's show, we're doing a podcast commentary for episode 3 of season 2. My name is Peter Holmstrom. I'm your host today, and I'm also the writer's assistant on the show. And I have two very special guests here to join us. First up, he is the returning champion to the podcast. He's also the writer of this episode, executive producer on Pandora, and the writer of 5 episodes of Team Knight Rider. He's Steve Crozier. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the shout out for Team Knight Rider too.
We'll always talk about Team Knight Rider.
A lot of fans out there.
I'm waiting for that Blu-ray release. That's what I'm waiting for. On the other end, we got he's the director of this episode as well as the co-founder of Crafty Apes Visual Effects House, which has done some amazing work on Star Trek Picard as well as the upcoming Snyder Cut of Justice League, which I'm very excited about. Chris Ledoux, Chris, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, Chris has got real credits. Mine are just like a joke.
I'm like, forgot that I'm Crow's assistant also.
Yeah.
So, to the audience out there, we're doing a podcast commentary for episode 3. Again, we are watching an ad-free version of the episode, however. So, if you're watching it on the app, first of all, thank you for watching. But whenever the ads do come up, pause this podcast and let the ads go through. Of course, you can just listen to it in your car or whenever, too. That works just fine. Or you can buy the episode on Amazon or iTunes and enjoy it ad-free along with us. So, guys, Chris, Steve, we're going to do a 3-2-1 countdown. And then when I say play, we're all going to hit play on our respective episodes.
Right. Yeah. Chris, like, you directed this entire episode in a tracksuit. Is that correct?
My luggage was lost going to Bulgaria. In Paris, they lost it. And it didn't come back for a while, so I decided to invest in some local gear.
And how did the crew react to this? Did they think you were like trying to blend in or making fun of them, or they didn't really even care?
No, it was very popular. Once I flashed the Adidas logo, I got an extra measure of respect.
Did you wear a headband as well? Like, just go all in for it?
No, I was proper Gopnik. It was just it was tracksuit, it was vodka in my shorts. I was definitely
It looked awesome. I mean, unfortunately, I was not there for the filming of this one. Like, that was the thing I missed the most, was seeing you in action in the tracksuit.
Yeah, no, it was great. I went full John Milius, just drinking scotch in a tracksuit, just shooting guns off between takes.
That's amazing. All right, guys, let's do this episode here. So,
yeah.
3-2-1 countdown. We'll get into it. All right. 3-2-1 and play. All right.
Shot to kill.
Chris, you better start here because
we had this pre-vised for a while, but because of how many shots were in the episode, this was the very last one complete. And so this actually caused us to deliver late by a day because there was a stutter issue in it we had to go technically figure out. And it was a lot of fun to work on.
I remember seeing the pre-vis, and this is pretty insane.
Yeah, no, it was cool, I think, to open up in a... I liked opening up in an action one.
And is it supposed to be a Zatarian one, or is this an Earthcom vessel?
This is an infiltrator being chased by Zatarian ships.
Okay. So I wanted to see a guy eject from there, but I guess he didn't make it out. I don't know.
No, I'm still working on this for the internet, for the what I call the permanent release, the international release. You know, what people will see for eternity, I'm still actually playing with it because
really?
This is the kind of shot you could work on forever.
Well, I'd like to do a little voiceover of the guy ejecting, or, you know.
Yeah, I should put you in the cockpit.
Put in the cockpit.
I love the inclusion of the body shield here.
Yeah, this is the three younger versions of the professors. Originally, we were going to do one scene with the older guys playing them younger selves, but the network wanted to see more of the younger guys, so I wrote a whole bunch of scenes with them. So this is the first one.
Yeah, these guys were great. This is the first time I met them the day before we started filming, and they really came through. I really liked them. And the Peter the Body Shield was invented because we realized that, well, they were so, you know, it's like we had to have them fairly close to her for the whole thing to make sense. But at the same time, if they were missing, it made no sense at all. So we're right. Like, how about a rear body shield? That makes sense. Let's go with that.
Yeah. No, the body shield was cool. This script was actually written before pandemic, and this was supposed to be the first episode shot, but then obviously a lot changed, and this ended up being the third episode shot.
Yeah, Steve, I wanted to talk to you about that, because not only was this it was first episode written, as you said, like, what was the thought process behind doing that? You know, like doing this episode, it's very much our effects heavy show. There's a lot of mythology done in the third episode.
Yeah, I think we wanted to just, obviously this was going to be a lot of mythology. Focus on the main characters, and just this was a little different. We're not cutting back to Earth on it, you know, some side story. This was like following all the main characters through to the end, setting up Jax's, you know, mission with the ancients, and learning about the professor's backstory. Like, it was always heavy in that, and with that kind of stuff, in terms of, because the first two were kind of, you know, sort of soft repiloting the show and showing what an episode could be like in number two, and this is sort of what the rest of the season is going to be, the overall mythology of with the ancients.
Yeah, logistically, I was supposed to film this out of order at first to buy myself more time for the effects, but then, you know, with Rona happening, it got switched back to proper order. Originally, yeah, we were up first back in March.
Yeah, and we did complete all the scripts. The only positive of the Rona was that we did finish all the scripts before we started prepping and filming, which was a big help.
Yeah, I love Shawnee as an actress, because this is the end of our first day. We had to film this in 45 minutes. We were just coming up against it, and they went in there and just nailed it.
And she's new. Yeah, she actually read for Schrall in season one. We always liked her, and then when the role of Lucas came up, we thought, hey, we could use her here. A lot of that's, we do that a lot. There's a guy who read for the young Osborne, who's in a role later on in the season. So
she was fantastic.
A lot of times when if they don't fit the role, we kind of keep them in mind for later.
Yeah.
And this was shot when? Is it like August 20th around
that? August 13th was my first up. And August 20th, I think, was my last day.
Right. So it was like, that's, you know, in terms of quick turnaround, like that's what was going on.
Yeah.
That's when it was filmed. And then it's going to be on the air this tomorrow.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, we shot the whole thing in 5 days, which we were supposed to have 8 days pre-Rona.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty, because there's so much happening action-wise that, you know, it was just logistically really difficult to fit it. And we managed to make it, but some of the days got really tight.
Then this is the jail cell, which we used in 110 last year. And it was so good. We kept this, I think we ended up buying the set piece, and then we've used it several times since then. They kind of had to learn how to, Max, the DP had to learn how to, you know, set up the lights and do the filming, so you don't have any reflection of lights or crew, but you also have reflections of the actors, which makes it interesting to film.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky, but I don't, you know, we actually haven't had to, you know, VFX wise, we're used to removing reflections in shots like this, and Max has been very clever. We haven't had to do it all for this setup ever, which is very surprising.
Yeah, I mean, they got really good with you know, setting up the lights and using the actor's reflections is sort of like a reverse also on some of this. Here you can see Jackson's reflection here too. Yeah, that's sort of a wasted VFX shot if you want to remove something from the glass.
No, it's so common. It's just hard with our schedule to to have to do stuff like that. So it's really nice not to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. When did you create this shot, Chris? The cityscape that's new for this season.
Yeah, that was a new one. I had the database that I made, and I just wanted to switch it up. And this stuff's cool. This is all rotoed out, so this is all just set ceiling and set. You know, that set extension that, you know, the guys in Bulgaria extended the setup and looks really nice.
Yeah.
Was he ever going to come down at a gravity belt?
You know, it's weird because it was the future. Everyone thought he was going to float, but I'm like, why? You know. why would he float? You know, it's, he doesn't, you know, if he have wires, then, you know, I haven't seen any jetpacks in the shows or anything like that.
yeah, no, I'm just kidding. No, it's cool. I mean, Chris, I have to hand it to you, like, a lot of the crazy shit that was in the original draft, you never said you couldn't do it. Everything was in here.
Yeah.
I mean, all this stuff, the whole beginning, jumping out of the ship, you know.
No, this stuff was fun.
You were just like,
this stuff was fun. I mean, I had him, I think in for this scene, I liked how they played it a little more comedically. Like, I'm here to rescue, duh. It's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, we leaned into the fun with Osborne this season a little more. Since he's lost his position, we kind of have a little more fun with him and show a different side. He's not always as serious. And
yeah, he has pretty good comedy chops. Like, I liked a lot of the sarcasm. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. The gore cop. Earlier, there was a whole scene of him actually in the crate as they're sneaking it on the ship. But, you know, let's get the story going and get on the ship already. So,
yeah,
here we are.
I love it.
I remember Shrall had some funny stuff in that scene, and I was kind of sad to lose it.
That's why we were pretty funny together. Yeah. Like, it was fine if the episode was like longer. It just, there was no, just, you know, they got to get on the mission.
For sure.
I love this new set they made. This is a huge step up.
It's great.
The bridge shooting on it was very nice.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously definitely one of the best new sets. Big space, you know.
The monitors just cast a lot of cool light into the scene.
Yeah. This in the captain's quarters, like, because they could use that for multiple sets.
Yep.
Here's the Dauntless, new this season.
Love that shot.
Yeah, the Dauntless was a nice model.
Give me a space and ship in space, and I'm set. I'm good.
Yeah, no, I love it too.
How did you guys come up with the Dauntless? Like, the design of it? Do you have different versions? And
yeah, there were a couple different versions. Me and the guys in Vietnam came up with, and they really love that stuff, and so do I. And so they threw a couple different options out, and, you know, I threw them to Mark, and we went back and forth, and, you know, this is where we arrived at. And yeah, it was cool. It was because it ended up, you know, that model on that Harlan gives to her that's on her desk, you know, that had to be derived from it and everything. So this was actually, we came up with this, you know, months and months ago before we even started filming, you know, when we first were supposed to start filming. So it actually worked out pretty well.
What were some of the influences you had for the Dauntless?
You know, the guys in Vietnam, the company is owned by a guy who used to work on Battlestar Galactica, the one from 2004-05. And so, and they did all the ship design last season. They do all the CG assets for the show. And so they're heavy duty into nerdery when it comes to spaceships. So they like to mix a lot. You know, there's a lot of Battlestar influence. You'll see a lot of quick zooms sometimes.
Yeah,
things like that.
I definitely love this episode too, because it kind of resets where Jax is at emotionally in terms of the season. It's firmly here. It's kind of setting up where she's going to be going for the rest of season two.
And we're there's a lot of stuff. It's a lot crunched into 42 minutes, but the pace I think is really good. And there's no, it's pretty easy to, it's, there's a lot of stuff, but I find it pretty easy to follow.
Yeah.
I hope. I
wrote
it. I don't know.
No, I think it works very well.
I have enough trouble myself.
Yeah, it moves along at a nice clip, which is nice. It's just, you know, I always like that. It's like, okay, we're going. And, you know, Steve, I'm always BSing about how much I hate exposition.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of exposition in this, but it's all like, you know, it's character stuff or, you know, this kind of stuff showing the past history of, I love all this stuff in the background of Asmodeus 6. So this is all like stuff we wanted to, you know, when we expanded the roles with these guys, like we just wanted to do the whole story of when these three, you know, Osborne, Pevney, and Shrall were all soldiers together. And, you know, what they went through 22 years ago, which will unfold throughout the season. You learn a lot of this has to do with what's going to be happening throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, this was fun. It was, I mean, everyone did a great job, but young Shrall was particularly exceptional.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. He's really excellent. He was really good. Maybe there's a way to actually bring him back some way.
Yeah, no, I just love
it. I think it's cool that these three different, you know, these three actors who probably didn't expect to get a job during pandemic, you know, are flying down to Bulgaria. I'm sure they've never been there before. And they, now they're going to be friends forever through this experience. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were super cool. They were just on point. You know, we didn't have very much time, especially on the quarry day. And, you know, there were very few busted takes. They just came, nailed it. I mean, I told them what we wanted beforehand, and they came and brought it, and boom, we were able to move along in a pretty good clip.
Yeah, when I got down there a week or so later, like, some of the crew was like, so are the younger versions coming back? I'm like, I don't know. You know, but that was the ultimate compliment for them to even bring that up. You know,
sure. So.
Yeah, no, they did a hell of a job. This is the one scene that we actually were able to overshoot. This is the first day, and somehow we ended up with like 50 angles on this, which every other shot we got like a couple angles. And this, I don't know why this, it was a really long scene. And
this is the first day?
This is the first day, yeah. And so there was a lot of blocking. There was a lot of movement and blocking. You know, you have to stand here and do this and go here. And Asmodeus 6, feels very Mars-like.
They're having some trouble getting down to the planet. Like, this is always, it's always been the same, this whole thing about how they get down. Like, isn't it? Chris, you
this never changed.
Doing it. Like, all right, it's never changed.
No, this was exciting. This sequence that's coming up is definitely the hardest for Pandora that I've worked on, besides maybe the space battle last year.
It looks amazing, though. It's so stellar.
Oh, thank you. It's fun. It was through a few evolutions.
I think the actors just got the final version. I'm sure they don't know what to expect. You know, I mean, all they did was stand on the green screen or get hoisted up on the wires. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it actually went through a few different. Even as recently as like 10 days ago, I switched up the edit on it. And I think everyone from sound to Aaron was going to kill me. And I was just like, well, you know, it's better this way. And they're like, what the hell's wrong with you? I was like, well, it's just, you know, it's gotta be good. And, you know, it's like, I'm like, are we able to get it on the screen? They're like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, then I guess it's not too late, is it?
This is beautiful. I mean, I love like the white glow in the background, and this is, I mean, I was blown away when I saw this.
Yeah.
This was for Mark, because Mark, he always espouses his love of Kubrick's production design in 2001, which was a very minimalist, very white set design. And just because I knew he loved that, I was, you know, I don't like to give Mark presents because I like to screw with him, but I figured I'd give him this one. And, yeah, no, this was a fun digital set to get. And I like this because the shot's supposed to, they look pretty good. And, you know, when you're filming on green screen.
It's completely green screen, the whole thing. And then the temp one, like Osborne goes into this little thing and he's like a box up on the top. But now they got it's really neat. It's exciting. I mean, this is like, you know, I think younger viewers are going to be like, this is fucking cool. Can I say that? I mean, but like, this is fun and exciting.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun to build.
Get like, the adrenaline going, this jumping out of the thing here.
Yeah.
No, this was fun because these helmets are all digital.
Yeah, so, I love this kind of Iron Man-esque type of helmet design here. It's very cool.
Yeah, I did a lot of it. You know, some of that Iron Man.
There's the Joe Kramer song. Mm. Joe Kramer's our composer. Of course, this song will be playing during this sequence.
Yeah, I love what he did with the score here.
Yeah.
How did you just like film them all close up? You know,
well,
were they wearing the helmet? Were they wearing the helmet?
I replaced them all. These are all digital characters. I didn't use any of the green screen footage. I shot of them.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, I'm talking about the close-ups on the masks.
Those were, so like, yeah, they were just on green. They were on green screen with no helmet.
Yeah.
So that whole helmet build around them is all digital. Hmm. And,
looks so good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. The hard part was trying to get everyone to understand what I was doing when I was filming them on green screen with no helmet, which was like, we have to come back to the characters, just how Iron Man does. You have to come back to the characters to give it that human emotion.
Absolutely.
You know, without context, it's meaningless. It's just a bunch of footage. And
completely.
So that was the tricky part in the edit, is trying to get the right, you know, cuts of them and things like that to communicate how dangerous this was.
Yeah. There was
it's hard for them. You know, I mean, they do all the Marvel movies like this. You're acting kind of with nothing, but get the sense of like there's this crazy storm going on. This planet's like insane. You have to sell the moment.
This is also nice too, because it's a bit of a hint of like Jax and Xander coming back together. They had had a major fallout from the previous episode, and you know, there's these little ways that you can connect them back.
Yeah,
it's nice. No, it's very cool.
The whole way these bubble things is, that's all you, Chris. I don't know how I never even wrote how they're supposed to land. But like, is this based on some real technology or just made some?
The guys in Vietnam came up with it. It's loosely based on Final Fantasy 20 years ago. So a movie that no one remembers, but actually had a lot of really cool stuff in it. And it, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
They also did a great job. I mean, I'm colorblind or color deficient, but they did a great job of the look of the planet. Yes. Based on what it looked like as the gravel pit in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we actually we matched the quarry with the drone, so we have a full 3D quarry now.
Oh, nice.
We can film in whenever we want.
That's fantastic. Digitally.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun to build. And the yeah, no, it was definitely most fun I've had working on a sequence in a while.
That's awesome.
And then
the shot of the ship above the storm clouds is really cool. That's a great shot too.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a fun simulation.
That's like a computer wallpaper worthy shot right there. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I mean that as a compliment. I'm not actually sure if that could be taken.
No, that's a total compliment. Our world. I'm not used to. I grew up with a lot of brothers, so compliments make me feel weird. I like this moment though, where I have Jackson, or I have Raylan and Mata. They get that extra look. It was the last extra time.
Look.
You know, I thought it was important.
Absolutely.
You know, no, she's the one who suggests.
Here they split up. I could see Bulgaria in the background, but that's okay.
We'll just presume that's like wreckage from the war.
Chris, you and Max went out to Belogradchik Rocks, got a couple of shots. I thought most of those would be used for this episode originally, but
yeah, 202 stole all my footage. Like, I was one of the few we could use. They needed it for Clayton's World, and so all of a sudden,
in the dialogue here, I put that they're talking about a fortress or something like that, but that's. You don't see it.
Yeah, I was like
using 202, but I was also jealous I didn't get to go out and visit that place. It looked pretty interesting.
No, it was cool. It was just funny because we were coming back from the shoot one of my days, and I was exhausted. Mark just kind of casually mentions, he goes, "Hey, could 202 use some of your footage from that drone thing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course, why not?" And then it's like, "Wait, they used all of it."
Yeah,
it's like, I can't use any of it. Like those bastards.
I know, I saw the temp. I'm like, oh, maybe they're just, you know, temporarily putting it in. I'm like, no, it's the end of it. That was, yeah. You know, we found a lot of spots that we wanted to use this season. This, you know, since we'd been to Bulgaria previously, we kind of knew where we wanted to go, where we didn't want to go. And that was one of the remote locations where we definitely wanted to drone shoot, like Buzlija last year.
No, it was beautiful. It was really, me and Max went out with Nikki, and, you know, Nikki's a great pilot. We got some really cool stuff. It was, you know, we had to paint out a lot of overweight tourists, but it was worth it. It was definitely just going there was a good experience.
It definitely opens up these. Yeah, it really opened up number two. These must have been hard decisions to film. Two people walking and talking, but you pulled it off.
Well, this one was at the end of our day in the quarry, and I didn't get what I wanted, which I wanted them up on the ridge line, and I wanted this beautiful drone shot of them on the ridge line, you know, sort of silhouetted against the sunset. But we honestly didn't have time, you know, given the schedule and constraints. It was, I couldn't do a company move up to the ridge line. We wouldn't have made it. So this was probably the most stressed out I got on the shoot, was getting a 2.5-page scene in about 45 minutes while the sun's going down and no time for proper blocking, you know, and knowing that they're walking in the ground means that, you know, post sound is going to kill you because, you know, they're going to have to ADR a bunch of it. And but the actors really nailed it. You know,
both of them here, and then Xander and Raylan are both. It's good. I mean, this is the last like kind of moments where they could actually chat, because like it starts to really run and jump after they after these dialogues.
Yeah. But it got very stressful. I mean, this is where I said to Mark, I'm like, you know, it's 2.5 pages of exposition. Maybe we just cut it down a little bit. He's like, don't even dare. I'm like, all right, I'm just saying, we might run out of time today. I'm just saying. He goes, you have to make your day. I'm like, fine, I'll make my day. That's like, but the, yeah, it's cool. It's, I love the tractor in the background. It's my favorite. Yeah. You see the
the tractor. That's not, yeah.
It's like the ancient technology tractor.
Someone makes a Yankees reference that I'm going to get shit about because
Tom's a Mets fan.
I'm a Cubs fan, but you know, she knows a guy on the Yankees, so gave him a shout out. It's fine, but my family's going to be like, "What?"
I don't blame them. I don't like the Yankees.
When this airs tonight, I'm going to be getting some. You know, the Seahawk was big. This is going to be a big letdown.
Yeah.
So this you must have shot earlier because it looks a little more light out.
Yeah, there's a little more highlights on. Yeah, this was earlier, but then again, it was yeah. Once again, it was still right. The second half of this day was just packed full of stuff, and once again, the actors just brought it. Max brought it. You know, we were able to, you know, nail all this stuff down. You know, It's like, hey, there's a protector shooting at you up here, and you know, it's a whole scene. And so we were able to go handheld, which, you know, speeds us up a little bit. And you know,
you thought you'd never see these guys again. That's a cool shot, the kind of the predator view. Or
whatever,
predator vision.
Chris, was that you in an episode in the pilot who created the whole kind of predator cloaking device thing? Was that your idea?
Yeah, that's something we had to come up with.
Yeah.
You know, we're always a bit rushed. And so it's like, hey, how do you, we didn't have, you know, there's supposed to be in that episode, they were supposed to be in a battle with like 50 people. And it's like, Well, okay, it's not going to happen. We don't have 50 costumes. We have one costume. So it was,
we never thought this costume, you know, we used it last season and thought maybe we'll not see it again, but it's been helpful. I think it's kind of opens the show to like an evil alien species. I think people like it.
I just really love the protectors as a con, you know, just, I always like seeing them come back. They're a very interesting race to me.
Also, like, yeah, I mean, this is when you see the protectors act differently around a Pandora. I mean, that was always part of this one. It's like they, you know, we'll find out later, but you kind of get a sense that they're not all about killing every other race, so they have a different
they're not just
see the Pandora.
It's not evil shoot guys.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a cave up on the hill, actually. That's Chris
Levine. Yeah, we had to add all that. Yeah, we ended up with 416 visual effect shots in the episode.
Wow.
Including that one. Didn't you enhance his chest emblem thing? Glowing.
Yeah, all the protector shots here have been enhanced. He's a lot more green naturally, and we wanted a dead one to be, you know, a lot darker and have certain aspects. So this is all green screen right here. On the cave set.
And this is a cave set. This is on our stage. This is not at the quarry. So.
Yeah, so I think it really helped. We were able to put a lot of green screens in the cave set, and we're able to sort of expand it. Like even when we wrap around after they're talking right here. You know, instead of shooting into like a wall, like that spotlight and everything behind it, that's all green screen. You know, that whole set extension. So it really opens up the world because otherwise they'd be marching right into a wall. I like these graphics that Bulgaria did for the cave system. I thought were really cool.
Oh yeah, that's neat. So who did that? The Bulgarian crew? They do they do the holograms and the...
Yeah, we just tell them, I'm so like, look, I need a 3D cave system. I need it to look techie. You know, give them some examples, and they just go out and nail it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, baby, my friend had a newborn we used to use her face on this baby. It was pretty fun.
Really? I noticed that. That was pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
And this is what Presley, the PA, is wearing the costume.
Yeah, this poor kid, he's like this big, he's 18, he's just this tall, gangly guy, and it was so hot, and he's just in this costume, like, are you okay? And he goes, I kind of.
We put him in it again in number episode 9.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So here's the threesome again with the baby.
Three men and a baby.
Three men and a baby. This could be a spin-off show. So this is sort of like the B story of the episode. There is no real B story, but like they became more than what the opening scene, like they became kind of the cutaway stuff, which I think, you know, people who are into the mythology, like this tells a lot, you know, I think it tells a lot of stuff.
Yeah. This is where this is where I screwed up Steve for the season. Cause I inadvertently had changed the whole scope of the story. And then we had to edit, figure out how to get it back. Cause I had Shrawl running off with the baby. It's like, you can't do that.
And I asked Mark, I'm like, wait, I go, what? I go, how does he?
I was like, why not? And he's like, because I asked Mark at the time, like, can I do this? And Mark's like, yeah, go ahead. And I was like, all right, we're good. I'm like, because it makes more sense within the context of my story. It made more sense for certain reasons, but I didn't realize how it affected the mythology down the road. And I'm like, crap. And we fixed it in the end.
Young Osborn brings it to his sister, and Shrawl stays behind, and, you know, he has a. At the time, we weren't sure what his encounter with the Zatarians would be, but he does stay behind to help them leave.
Hmm.
So I guess I don't know, somehow they edited it so he doesn't actually hand him the baby anymore.
Yeah, we had it. We were able to make it work, but I just remember that email. Like, what have you done? Like, what do you mean, what have I done?
And I was like, well, did they shoot the other way too? Like, no. I'm like, but then they, so it makes more sense in terms of like, he gives it to his sister. So. And that's Jax's mom.
Yeah, Peter. They have to watch Grand Set Peter. I'm always changing random things that might have huge implications elsewhere.
You kill someone in the episode. What does it matter? It works better that way.
Yeah. It's like, have you read the other episodes? Like, no. Like, well, you really should.
But then, I don't know. I was just trying to stay true to what the mythology was. It's like, that's where the baby went to, to Eve. So.
Yeah, like these graphics they did, I think are really cool. I think they really add some. Then I still didn't get to work with Shrawl because they shot this in 201, 202 for me for the insert.
That's right. So. That's right. He shot that later.
I was bummed I didn't get to work with him.
Now, Chris, my question for you is, how did you manage to make this green plasma wave distinguish it from the green of the Green Lantern in the Snyder Cut of Justice League? Please expand. I'm kidding. I know you can't talk about it. It's fine.
Smoke simulations and distortion. Yeah, it doesn't seem like the smartest thing to go firing your lasers at a green wave, but,
I got excited. I thought, like, oh, they destroyed Zatar. And I think people might think that's the case.
But it's not.
It's not. But in the script, originally, I did want to take out Zatar.
Just to kill her.
At the end, you learn that there's been a sacrifice made to save Zatar. So it could be interpreted that way. That's all I have to say.
True.
But I guess that is the moon of Zatar. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think in the final, it was a distant moon kind of on the Zatarian border.
It's one of their...
But maybe people might think it's the planet. So I don't know. Oh, now this whole thing with the creature. Now, originally the creature was like flying around, and there was like a shadow like following them and like outside. So that was all gone. But then you didn't want to give up on the creature, and you still kept it in there. So
no, once we decided to move everything into the caves, from up top, it was like, hey, why are we getting rid of the creature? It's just, it doesn't, we can still have a creature. It was like, I guess that part doesn't need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole scene, the whole shootout.
Go as
yeah.
far as like make a when they're walking outside in the quarry, like there's like a Tremors trail following them, so you know the creature's like after them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we could have made the whole episode about the creature easily.
It looks fantastic. I love it.
No, they did a great job with that whole area is all green screen stuff, and like the expansion of that world really makes a difference, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I just love I love the comedy that Raylan brings when it comes to the creature in the shootout.
Absolutely. I love the two of them together. You know, they have such a good team-up quality to them.
Yeah.
No, I says they're Butch and Sundance.
Yeah.
So the creature, And also, story-wise, they also had to be kind of delayed getting to them, so I guess this is definitely how they get delayed.
Yeah.
Certainly a story purpose.
Yeah, it actually, it looks just so much better than I had it in my own head. Like when I read the new sequence, I figured it would be kind of like a sandworm from Dune sort of look, but this one has more of like a alien or predator vibe to it, and it just looked fantastic.
Yeah, we went with some designs from Diablo, the game.
Nice.
Yeah, I love. Yeah, I love playing it sarcastic here, like Mod is just talking shit to her. Like, I guess you're wrong. Like,
So here's the protector, which is, you know, this is the first time we see, you know, obviously we would have probably have 50 of them bowing down if it was a bigger. We had 50 costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah,
that's, you know, supposed to be the same one that delivered the baby 22 years ago. So it's sort of like, you know, she's come home. Talk about this shot, Chris. It's crazy, yeah, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I wanted to, you know, a little mixture of Prometheus and Indiana Jones for the design. You know, the script called for like 50 people bowing down, but time-wise, you know, it's like, well, I can build some cool statues, but 50 creatures.
The hologram is a hologram's a callback to the pilot. That's the,
the
alien language that Jack's mom was trying to decipher, and she was able to read.
Yeah, and then there's our golden pigeon up there.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a giant golden pigeon.
Awesome.
This is another weird one to try and direct the actresses to react to this stuff, right?
Yeah, no, it's hard because you're supposed to. The best I could give him was, you know, this is kind of, you know, Willy Wonka on the tugboat in that scene when he starts going, everything goes trippy and weird. You know, and I had to direct him emotionally. It's going to start here, you're happy, then it's going to get a little more trepidation, you know, and at the end, you know, this light's going to rush towards you, and, you know, we're going to transition here over to the motel scene. And, you know, they were game, like, great imaginations, and I was able to fumble my way through the description enough for where we were able to get what we needed. You know, and then back on the Bufo backlot.
Here we are. Like, I think audience will not see this coming at all.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, it was fun. I like this wide shot we made way behind
the go-kart track. Now, yeah, there was nothing behind them, so that's all you guys. I mean, it looks like they're on location. We're on location somewhere. This guy was a great local find. He lives in Bavaria.
I loved him. Yeah, no, I loved him. He's British guy who's at the editor of the newspaper, and, you know, he read the character and he came to me and he said, you know, it's like, you know, I know, you know, Mark's really into Star Trek. He's like, I was thinking about playing it like Neelix, and I just like, don't. I hate Neelix more than any Star Trek character in history. Like, no, like, let's go. He's like, how about Q? I'm like, Q's right on. You know, Q meets Twin Peaks. Let's do that. And yeah, he was, I love the way we cut it. You know, it's just kind of bizarre. The whole world is just kind of strange, and, you know, the way it's cut back and forth, and this was the last.
He has a big role. This is his first appearance, but he's going to be on the show a bunch more. So.
Yeah,
and he's in this episode more. There he is again.
Yeah, no, he's. I was bummed when he grabs the key. We actually in my cut, we had him fumbling with it because he actually had this take where he just kept fumbling with it off the wall. I thought it was hilarious. And the network made me take it out. They're like, everyone's like, that's not obvious.
There was a note on that. It's like, he's still taking a little too long to get the key.
I know that kind of subtle humor, which I liked. It's like the kind, you know, it's when she signs the book, every number is 42, which is an obvious callback. And, you don't see it, but he actually, the room is 43, which she pulled the thing off of. I love that piece of random stock footage, that guy in the background.
Yeah, what is that?
What is that? Did you put that in later?
Stock footage I found just says businessman twirling on a beach. And I'm like, that's pretty weird.
Nice.
Meanwhile, with the monster, like, there's nothing boring about this episode. I mean, get the weird hotel, then this thing.
Yeah, that's what I like. It keeps moving. Like, it's just constant, you know, stuff very happening. Best,
yeah.
And I think, this is my OSHA violation where I did not have stunts. He just jumped back and, like, I was like, oh my God. Like, I did not expect him to do that. And the first AD started yelling at me. I'm like, I didn't jump back. He did. Like, what are you talking about? It's like, she's like, you're going to get him hurt. And I'm like, I didn't tell him to do that. Like, I just strongly suggested all in it would this. Be it's cool. Fantastic. No, Ben always brings it 100%. Yep. And he was just like, oh, wow. Yeah. I thought, you know, originally we were supposed to have him covered in goo, but makeup's like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, all right.
It works. Yeah. It works.
Great extension on the hallway there. That goes.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So what's the?
Okay. So we needed something. Okay. So when I was shooting this day was super stressful. It was the last day. this was the last stuff up, but I was supposed to have like all this time to shoot it, and it just didn't work out that way. Said it was the scene I was most excited about was all this stuff in the hotel. And I had gotten them to hire a goat from the village we were filming in. And I'm not a city kid. I grew up in a small town, but it's not agricultural. So I know nothing of goats. So I didn't realize that goats don't ever shut the hell up.
Nope.
They just keep bleeding. And so we couldn't film with this damn goat in the room. And so when I got into post, I'm like, you know, my episode had so much effects that Mark's like, you need to come up with, you need to do a lot of temp effects or else no one's ever going to understand what you're trying to do here. So while it was like 5 a.m. in late August, I'm trying to come up with some temp effects. I'm like, what can be in here? This isn't bizarre enough. This isn't enough. And I came across in my stock library all this amazing green screen footage of pigeons on green screen. Like close-ups, wides. And I'm like, you know what? That'll totally freaking work. I'll just put pigeons everywhere. And then everyone's asking to talk to this pigeon. They're consulting with the pigeon. And, you know, because we had this great, you know, our teamster who's in the chair. You know, we have him sitting there. We have our, you know, Clive. We
I know, that's one of our drivers who becomes an integral part of the show. The guy lounging in the chair. We call him Javier.
I love him. Yeah, Javier Bardem. So, we end up just, you know, I love it when they're looking for answers. They turn around and consult the pigeon. Yes. And the pigeon's just round. And it's just now it's part of the show. And then in the room, there's the big, giant golden pigeon. So now Steve's job to come up to link into how this ties in with everything.
I love it though. This, I mean, Chris, you were always this ending thing. You're always just like, dude, just make it weird. Just make it crazy. Just make it weird. And you were like, and that's what you did. You know, you wanted this ending just to be, you know, the red room and all the weird stuff. And the pigeons have the red eyes. I guess you gave them the red eyes. I thought you got the pigeons from Bulgaria because they were actually flying around like the new stage. They were like, there's a lot of pigeons on the back lot.
No, I you know, I filmed with birds a few times on green screen, and they don't cooperate at all. Birds are the least cooperative animals, and but someone had gotten footage of them, so I have this great green screen footage in my database, and it worked.
It's awesome. I'm between the motel and this guy and the pigeons and Javier, and it's just like there's so many weird things in here. It's great. So, you know, since they haven't seen the last of this room.
No, the set design for him. This is great. Except for the damn statues we had to paint out because they were a network violation. Now you don't see them.
Really?
There's some suggestive statues that set design put in there that now have, you know, have to be completely removed in post.
You got to love those Greek statues.
Yeah, exactly. Mark warned him too. I was there and he warned him. Mark's like, nothing suggestive. And then like, we get such in a rush to film there. We film there and we're like, hey, are those statues of people copulating? Like, yep, look, that's exactly what those are. Like, huh, great. Hey, Chris, you want to paint those out? Like, not really, but fine. But Max really helped save the day on this scene. I mean, this was so rushed. And, you know, he helped block it right away and, you know, get it all set up and, you know, was able to, you know, without Max, this show would be like, you know, we'd shoot about half a page a day, I think.
Yeah, he is a real lifesaver and MVP of the show. Oh, yeah. I love it with him at the pigeon on his shoulder. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't even know what his real name is. I can't remember. That's Clive. Clive is the guy, the local guy, the driver. We just kept calling him Javier. I don't think he spoke much English.
No, Mark determined he was Javier Bardem.
we have to keep watching the rest of the season. There's a big payoff for Javier at the end of the season.
Yeah, I love it. He doesn't say anything either. He never says a word.
He never says anything. I wonder if he even realized what he's doing.
No, he doesn't speak English, and so it's very... I think, you know, everyone translates what's going on. He's a great sport about it. Like, he's been really, really helpful.
He just gets a touch of mail and it's just like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, he's just like, well, he doesn't have to drive. Like, hey, we need you to film. So he's like, wait, I'm just sitting here most of the time doing nothing. I'm like, yeah, you're talent. That's what you do.
So, Chris, you think audiences are going to get up to cry here? You're going to make them cry with what happens to Mata?
I cried.
I thought it was nice and emotional. I thought she did Tegan was great.
Yeah.
First time working with her, but see, there's your golden pigeon right there.
Boom.
I keep missing that. I gotta go back and see that.
Yeah, golden pigeon. So it's a pigeon with its wings up in the air, flayed up, how you usually might see an eagle.
Okay.
But it's actually a pigeon.
That's funny. I gotta take a look. This is sad. It's a dark ending, man.
Yeah.
And his, when he gets upset, it's like it's emotional. So
yeah, this emotional stuff, especially on green screen, is hard to shoot. Everyone just feels funny. But they did a great job. We got this very quickly.
Were they green screen or cave? It was a combination of the cave and the green screen.
No, this is all green screen.
Is that what this was? Yeah. Oh, it was all green screen, this thing?
Yeah, wow. This is all green screen. Yeah. The last shot, though, takes, see, there's really the pigeon. Weird. There's the pigeon.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see. Okay.
I love it. And that's it. There it is.
That's it. So it's next week. So we see Mata. So is she dead? I don't know, but you'll have to tune in next week to see what's going on.
You will have to tune in next week.
But yeah, no, it was Steve wrote a hell of an episode. So thank you, Steve.
No, thank you. I mean, I loved teaming up with you last year, and hopefully we'll have a third season and we'll do some more.
No, I'm excited.
Everyone did a great job on this one. It was none of them were easy. This one was especially not easy. So congratulations, everyone. And Max, especially.
Yeah, Max brought it.
Mm-hmm.
And solid performances all around.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us here. Listeners, thanks for watching. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And if you enjoyed the podcast, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed the episode, give it a nice rating on IMDb. We appreciate it. So, Steve, Chris, can people connect with you on social media? Anything you want to plug?
Well, I've got a flip phone, so I guess if they
got a flip phone,
they could call. He's they could call me. That's about rocking. That's the extent of my social media, Chris.
No, I don't want anyone to contact me.
Like, fair.
Yeah,
I had to change my number.
Like, yeah, we like to stay anonymous. No. That's okay, but like, yeah, you know, I fair. Guess there's other fair. Spots where maybe you could reach out to. Like, if you like this episode, you know, like what is it? Hashtag it with Pandora CW. Hashtag
Pandora CW. Yes, I know Chris Crafty Apes is on Twitter. You could always connect that way.
Yeah, for
one
sure.
of those. Do one of those things. Instagram. There's some really nice shots that you guys work on that are posted on there.
So if you liked it, any questions, like maybe, you know, we'll find a way to get back to you if you have any questions.
And of course, I mean, Pandora Writers on Twitter and Pandora Writers on Instagram. You can connect with us on there and Pandora Series as well, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap it up there then. Until next week, my name is Peter Holmstrom. Thanks for joining us. Chris Ledoux, director and writer, Steve Crozier, thanks for being here. And we will see you guys again on the next episode of Unboxing Pandora.